Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who really hates non-elimination legs of The Amazing Race, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Whoa, that bell is so far away. How the hell are you guys doing this morning? Hope everybody is doing good. I know everybody on the East Coast is dealing with the Hurricane Sandy. I know I've been on the phone with my mom and everybody back home. Hope everybody is safe and, you know, not dealing with too much flooding or down trees or anything like that. So thinking about everybody back on the East Coast. Joshua Spalding wants to know, how are these Cesterninos and Palmieris on Long Island faring with the horrific weather? Hope everyone there is okay. Yeah, I spoke to my mom this morning. Everything is going okay over there. Their power is out. They're on the generator power, and it's a great thing that they got the generator after Irene. Back when I've talked about how my dad passed away in December, and really one of the last things he did, like on the day that he died, he bought this generator online, and he printed out the paper before he had a heart attack, and so. We got the generator, and then so it was something that he wanted my family to have, and it's there, and it's running right now, so he was looking out for us with that purchase. And then Nicole's parents, same boat, they got the power out, but I think they're doing okay. Nicole's brother has some flooding, but all in all, I think everybody is doing okay. Everybody's safe, at the very least, and we'll see how long until the power gets back on. So, thank you guys very much for the concern. I hope all you guys are doing okay too out there. I mean, if you have power on and you are able to even consider looking at a spreecast about The Amazing Race or reality TV or anything concerning Rob Cesternino, I have to imagine that you're doing pretty well right now. But if anybody has any cool video that they want to show us of what's going on in their world, I mean, I think it would be perfectly acceptable to see it. If you gotta, want to show us what's going on outside your window, that's all cool stuff. So we're able to do it from Spreecast. If you have some video that you shot that's on YouTube you want to send to us, go ahead and we'll take a look, and hope everybody is doing all right today. So big news in the world of Rob Has a Podcast this week. We got word come Sunday night that Rob Has a Podcast has indeed been nominated for a podcast award for the third straight year for Best Entertainment Podcast. So we're really excited about that. I'm hoping that this might just be the year and we're no longer the smartest podcast never to win a podcast award. Thursday, I believe, the 1st. That is when we are going to be able to begin voting. Now, it's a daily vote on podcastawards.com, which I don't care for. I wish there was like some sort of a voting body that would just decide on who wins the award. Let's listen to all the podcasts. You tell us who's going to win the award, but that's not how it works, unfortunately. So we're going to need you guys to turn out at the polls in November. So we're working on some ideas for something that maybe there could be something that I may offer to do if we get the vote done. But that, we'll more on that later in the week. Come Thursday, that is when it's time to vote. I also want to congratulate our friends over at the Tribe Podcast, John Norton and company over there. They are nominated for the Best Produced Podcast at the Podcast Awards. So I think we have a little bit of a Survivor Podcast alliance with the Tribe. So when you go and cast a vote for us, cast a vote for the Tribe, and they're going to tell their listeners to do the same thing. So these Survivor podcasts, you could take the Survivor out of Survivor, but you can't take them out of podcasting, or something like that. You get the idea. It could be something like that. You get the idea. That being said, let's turn our attention to a little bit of the amazing race here this week. Non-elimination leg, which annoys me. I have to be honest. I have to give it to the amazing race a little bit here. Non-elimination. Brian says, were you surprised they used the non-elimination leg on Josh and Brent? A little bit. because I didn't think that they were they have been that exciting to any of the, you know, they haven't done anything that was that great. Although Gary and Will, not like they've done anything too exciting either. But I just was watching it. I watched the episode last night, and I'm saying to myself, boy, there's really not that many teams left here. I mean, we're only, what, five episodes in, and they only start with 11. I'm like, boy, we're going to lose another team this week. What are we going to get down to six teams after tonight? And so, no, that's not the case. We're going to keep these guys around. I don't know if I want to hear from you guys. Has this been a good season of The Amazing Race in your estimation? I have not seen every season of The Amazing Race. You guys, Brian Lynch says yes. Brian Gelbach says no. I think so. It's okay, not exceptional. Below average, not terrible. Average. Maybe I'm just after having Brenchel on The Amazing Race last season, I'm spoiled. This season, I feel like, other than the 20s, I feel like there really has not been anybody stirring the pot so far here on Amazing Race so far in Amazing Race 21. But yeah, I was surprised to see Josh and Brent saved with the non-elimination leg. It's, you know, it is what it is. You know, they gotta, you know, they don't have more teams. They want to have more episodes. So it just does feel like such a waste of time at the end of the hour, where it's like, oh no, this was a non-elimination. Nobody's going home. And yes, I know we did that during the summer with Big Brother one week. There was the week where Frank was going to go home, and then they let the coaches come back into the game. But at least the coaches came back into the game, and there was some net result that happened out of all of that. On Survivor, I know sometimes we have a medical evacuation, and we don't have a vote off. But there's never a week of Survivor where they go to Tribal Council, and then they do the vote. And then somebody gets voted out, and Jeff Probst says, all right, Katie, the tribe has spoken. Or has it? Not elimination. Psych, just kidding. You don't have to go home. You get to go back into the game. But you're not going to get any rice next week, so take care. Well, actually, nobody was going to get any rice anyway on that tribe. But I don't care for the non-elimination leg. I wish that they would have some other way of doing it. Either, you know, let us know up front that, hey, this is going to be a two-part leg of this race, where, you know, the person who comes in last in the two-part, like it's a double leg of the Amazing Race. I don't know. I don't know if that would be any better, but don't care for the non-elimination leg. That's, if I was going to run for office, that is one thing I would put to end in this country. Dawn's Bread says, who screams more, Joe from Big Brother or the twins on this race? 20! Come on, 20! I have a sore throat. I can't even do Joe. But yeah, Joe is just loud and slow. But the 20s are loud and fast. So, and there's two of them. So I don't think they're quite as loud as Joe, but there are two of them. Hence the name 20s. So I think that probably in unison, I think that we have probably the 20s are louder, but individually I would say Joe is probably louder than either of the two 20s. So it's sort of a sad start to The Amazing Race this week, where James and Abba went ahead and James got some bad news, which I didn't know you get like Skypes on The Amazing Race, which is good. I mean, on Survivor, you know, you're out there on your own. You don't get phone calls from home or anything like that. But apparently on The Amazing Race, you're allowed to get communication from home. Unfortunately, it wasn't for a very good reason. But interesting to see them Skyping on The Amazing Race. And so, very sad about James and his dad. But now he has a reason to go on The Amazing Race. Thought the 20s were really good this week. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed when they called Ryan a tool. That was very funny. I liked how they were interacting with the other teams. That was really good. And then, we had a lot of building teepees. We had a lot of building scales. I also thought that the bamboo challenge was was very dangerous. Don't you think? Like, weren't like how many people almost got like impaled by the bamboo one way or the other? Like, you know, the teams crossing and then trying to turn fast. I thought that was a very dangerous challenge, and I'm surprised that they just let these reality show contestants come in and just sort of like just wreak havoc in a whole town of, like, I don't know how many people they could have killed. I guess it doesn't matter so much because they, like, already have, like, horrible working conditions. And so it's like, oh, if we lose somebody in bamboo, what are you going to do? We lost 8 people in the jute factory already today. So it just was very, very hard to, you know, those working conditions in that factory were really terrible. And I almost feel like, yes, we are raising awareness, but I feel like it sort of trivializes what's going on there to have like a game show taking place in this sweatshop, which was, you know, really, I found it a little unsettling, that whole scene. And then, of course, James and James make a critical mistake where they leave all the bamboo back at the place where they got the bamboo from. And, you know, luckily it doesn't cost them. Because they still beat Josh and Brent back, but it was a non-elimination leg. And we'll see if Josh and Brent are so far behind the pack, like Mark and Bopper last year, when they got saved on the non-elimination leg. But, you know, to see if they were able to even get close to coming back. Rob has a bastard, says, do you think the locals had to carry the bamboo back after the racers brought it to the location? Probably. That's funny. Yeah, probably they had to bring it all back. I mean, weren't the racers like wrecking like the town? Like, I thought they were going to knock over all the bamboo. They're hitting things. They're bumping into people with the bamboo. I mean, I don't know who's thinking of this challenge. Like, all right, let's go to Bangladesh. Let's have the racers, you know, bring 30-foot bamboo, poles through the marketplace. Matt Curran says, they did more harm than good. Yes. Okay. So we'll see exactly what that happens. So I want to hear from you guys today about the Amazing Race. Our Amazing Race correspondent, she is traveling. I want to hear questions from you guys, and let's get some video calls going this morning. Because I want to hear from you guys. Hit submit question. Send us your video calls. If not about the Amazing Race, then certainly we're going to take some video calls about Survivor this morning and hear what you guys have to say. So Sarah Stockdale says, don't you think James and James should have remembered the polls since that's what they work with every day? Very, very funny. In fairness to James and James, I'm not sure if the Chippendales have polls. Let me rephrase that. I'm not sure if the Chippendales dance on polls. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if we can get a fact check. Nicole, are you still awake?
Yeah.
Do the Chippendales have polls?
No.
That's okay. As a fact check, I don't believe so. I believe they're dancing, but I don't think that they are dancing on the pole like a traditional stripper. All right. We got that. Brian Gelbach wants to know, isn't it annoying how many teams complained about not getting first when they came in second or third? Yes. I will have to say, Ryan, I have a, what is the guy that he's, Ryan, right? Amy and Ryan, or is it, do I have that right? I want to make sure before I give this guy some medicine. Is it Amy and Ryan? Okay, sorry about that, everybody. Ryan, how about F you for complaining about how being pissed at the pit stop? Like, oh, we really wanted to break Dave and Rachel's record from nine first place finishes. How about you just win the race? Okay, how about you win the race? How about you shut up? And how about we just go on from here? Because I'm tired of hearing about, we should have won. And now he's mad at Amy over this. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And so Oh, I'm seeing that we have one of our Big Brother favorites, Brian Lynch. I didn't even know he was a Amazing Race enthusiast. But yeah, if Brian Lynch is ready to go, I'd love to check in with Brian Lynch. Is he there? Uh-oh. He's back. Oh, no, or or is he? What a tease to tell me Brian Lynch was coming back onto the show and then not to actually get Brian Lynch. Let's see. I'm going to ask Brian Lynch if his tapestry in the background was made by the factory workers in Jute, or the Jute factory workers. So we'll see if we can get him back on. And again, send us your text questions too. I want to hear your thoughts or questions about the Amazing Race before we segue into Survivor and go ahead and submit the question. So let's try Brian Lynch one more time. His shockwave crashed, which is never good. Here he is. We hope. We'll see. Going once. We might need a full-on browser reboot. Oh, here he is. Come. Oh, boy. Easy. You know, lots of technical difficulties. I know Spreecast does have an office in Manhattan. So, we'll see. Maybe that could be part of the problem there. So, let me hear what you guys have to say about Amazing Race. Or if you guys want to do a video call as well to talk about this leg of the race, who you are liking or not liking so far. I think that, James and Abba, they're so far out in front that they're not even on the same show as anybody. This will continue until they have a flight when they need to eventually, everybody will be on the same flight and this whole lead will be evaporated, which is, just another one of my pet peeves about the Amazing Race. So if you guys don't have any other questions about Amazing Race, we can move on to Survivor and go on from there. So let me hear from you guys. Do we want more? Anything else in the Amazing Race? Are you ready to move on to Survivor? How about Bachelor news? Okay. So, I didn't think this was the best episode of The Amazing Race. Thomas Benko says, not really, because not a whole lot happened on The Amazing Race. Yeah, I would agree on The Amazing Race. I did not think a lot happened. We didn't even get an elimination. Michael wants to know, was it fair that after a fast forward, they didn't have a catch-up? They effectively won two legs as a result. Well, I like in The Amazing Race when teams are get ahead, that they should stay ahead. Like, I think it's not fair when, you know, all of your work that you do just sort of gets, everybody catches up to you. And I don't think that that's particularly fair. So I did not have a problem with that so far. I like that if you build up a lead, you can keep your lead and not let everybody catch up to you on The Amazing Race. So I think that's... I have no issues with that. Jessica, did you want to show us your picture of the hurricane? Is this what what is this? This is a okay. So this is these are apps to stay safe with the hurricane. Okay, so if you want to stay safe with the hurricane and you still have power on your cell phone, go ahead, and Jessica Frey is keeping an eye out for you guys here during the storm. All right, so I think Brian Lynch could be back. Do we want to try it one more time? Let's give Brian Lynch another whirl here and see if maybe the powers that be will get us a connection here with Brian Lynch. Brian, are you there?
Bro, I'm here. I had to change browsers.
Uh-oh, yeah, they say with Spreecast, no Chrome.
No Chrome, okay.
No Chrome.
That's what I was using.
Yeah. Brian, I thought you were going to give me a phone call and, get me pumped up for the Amazing Race.
Bring.
Hello?
Hey, Rob. What's up?
Twinny, how are you? So,
Rob, what's going on, Rob?
Yeah, Brian Lynch. First off, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob. How about yourself?
Where is it? I'm good. Where is the tapestry?
The tapestry is about to be mailed to RHAP listener. So,
whoa,
it's going to be given away.
Oh, good! Well, that's amazing. Great giveaway. So Brian, what's your take on the Amazing Race? Have you always been an Amazing Race fan?
Yeah, I've watched Amazing Race for quite a long time. I haven't, you know, it's kind of like Big Brother and Survivor. I missed a great chunk of, you know, the beginning of when the seasons began because I was just deployed for a lot of time. So, I've caught up a lot on Big Brother, you know, just watching past seasons, but you know, the Amazing Race and Survivor, I'm a little bit behind.
Yeah. So,
there's just not enough time in the world.
So who is the, that's right. Now who is the Chilltown endorsed team from the Amazing Race for this season?
I think Chilltown would endorse the Rockers. I kind of like Chippendale, James and James. They crack me up. They're on your screensaver right now.
Yes. Great picture. Well, thank you. Really, so I could see maybe Boogie appreciating the Chippendales, but I don't know about Dr. Will. I don't know if he would find their antics too humorous, the Chippendales.
I don't know. I enjoy them. Maybe it's just because they're hot.
They are pretty hot.
I may have seen them in a show one time. I don't know.
Yeah. Whoa. Oh, Brian. Brian Lynch, what's your take on the 20s?
I think they're probably going to win. They're very motivated. You were talking about them. Being loud like Joe, but really Joe is just generally loud about everything. The 20s are, they get loud trying to motivate each other, and there's a difference there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mick Lafferty is asking me, Rob, what's your position on calling participants in the Amazing Race amazing racists? I am against it. I'm my position is an anti position of calling participants in the Amazing Race, amazing racists, and I'm going to stick to that position. I think that I am against that.
What if you're up with a true racist on the race?
Unless there is a team, unless there is a team on the race that are the racists, and that's their team name that they're lower thirded. I think it's not we shouldn't label people racist on the Amazing Race. If they're like Klansmen or stuff like that, then we'll identify them as the racists. But until what? Then, let's not throw the labels around.
Why does the Alabama guy got to answer questions about racists?
Yes. So we're not gonna touch that. How about that, everybody? No. Yeah. Matt Curran says, Brian, keep dancing. Hmm. All right.
I can put up my mobile pole.
You have a mobile pole?
No, but I can.
You can get one. I believe they have them at Amazon. You go to robiswebsite.com/Amazon. Jessica Frey says, has Brian Lynch been sleeping? Have you been catching
Rob
up on
has
your...
Rob a podcast.
Yes. That could be a whole show. Jessica is asking, have you been sleeping, Brian? Have you caught up on your sleep since Big Brother?
Yeah, sleeping is a lot easier without the long because... it's just... generally easier because there's nothing that's something that's different about Big Brother than all these other shows is you can waste your entire life watching it.
Yeah. You can most certainly waste your entire life watching it. That's right. Brian, did you happen to watch any of Halloween this weekend?
No, I missed Halloween. I've been I live quite a ways from my hometown, so I've been traveling a lot back and forth trying to visit some family, and so I've just not been catching up on everything.
I did watch Halloween on Saturday night, and I thought it was pretty good.
Well, what happened? What was going on?
Well, the setup on Halloween, and this was live on Superpass, and Halloween, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Halloween is Matt Hoffman throws a big Halloween party every year. And so they sort of had like it was two cameras on Superpass. And so they had like one camera, which was basically James Rhyn in the garage, and he was interviewing people on in front of a green screen, and then they would cut to the party. Now, when they cut to the party, you couldn't really make out anything that was going on. You know, it was very difficult to sort of get a sense of, you know, it was just like a bunch of people, and it was sort of poorly lit, but there were, you know, a number of interesting interviews that James Rhyn did on the green carpet, including, I'm pretty sure I saw, announced as a couple, Hayden Moss and none other than Survivor Kat.
Wow. New couple?
Yes.
I haven't heard that. Well, congratulations to them.
Yes.
What were they wearing? What was their couple costume?
I believe that Hayden Moss was supposed to be like a Conan the Barbarian. And I believe that...
Sheena?
No, she was... I'm not sure if she was either Princess Leia from Return of the Jedi or some sort of female Conan. But either way, there's a new reality TV power couple.
Yeah,
Hey Cat. What do we want? I don't know what we want to Captain. But I think we may need
to end up on the show together.
This could be Amazing Race 22. This could be a good. This could be a good way to go. Couple name equals hat. Okay, that's one way to do it. Maybe we need to have a name the couple contest, or maybe we could have a dating game. A dating game with Hayden Moss and Kat, where you know, get them to, you know, give us the answers that the other one would give. I think both any of those things would be good. Hey Kat, so that's good. And then some other good costumes. Who won?
Yeah, who won the costume contest?
Well, Ian came wearing the dog costume from The Power of Veto, and he was the winner.
How can that win?
Well,
that was a costume that he didn't come up with that.
Well, I think you have to remember the audience here. The people watching Halloween are the people who are watching the live feeds on Superpass, and so they saw something from Big Brother 14 and said, "This, I want this. This is it. This is it." He's wearing the dog costume. I remember that.
Ian's just taking home all the titles.
Yeah, taking home all the titles. Some other costumes. Then I saw Gene and Stephanie from The Glass House were there. And Gene was like a Darth Maul type character. That was
with
pretty
horn
good.
Coming out.
Yeah, he had horns and like a lightsaber. Howie was there, and he was Jason from the Friday the 13th. Who else did I see on there?
Why wasn't Howie a Jedi?
I don't know if he... I don't know why he wasn't a Jedi. And then also, Matt Hoffman was sort of like a zombie Hooters waitress. And I'm trying to think of who else was there. I think that's about it for the for the costumes. But yeah, it looked like it was a wild time at Halloween. Oh, a Survivor Dawson was there, and she was sort of getting into it with James Rhyn. She's
a lot of people get in.
Yeah, that don't cross Survivor Dawson. That's what I have to say. and I thought the highlight was James Rhyn's interview with Keith's Angels from Big Brother 13.
Don't you wish we could have seen something about Keith's Angels? Just maybe Keith just go a little bit farther in the house just to see how, how big of a disaster that would have been.
Well, you got a little sense of it on Superpass on Saturday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I
shut down Superpass right after it. I didn't want to get the extra charge.
Well, it was worth it for Saturday night. That was good, Hoffa-ween. Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind next.
Can we get... Okay, is Keith from Big Brother 13 on Twitter? Can we get him on this show?
You know, I haven't seen him on Twitter, but we can try to find out.
Yeah,
who is Keith's big friend in the house? Not Portia.
Yeah. If we could get, I feel like he would be a good podcast guest to have on the show at some point. So
all his angels around him.
Yeah, if anybody has a relationship with Keith, let's see if we could track him down. That'd be some good podcasting. Brian, any predictions on The Amazing Race? Do you have a team that you think is going to win?
I don't know. I feel like the 20s are going to win.
They're going to win. You feel good about 20s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just feel like they've got a push, a motivation that's just it's just really strong.
They've got a good drive.
Yeah.
For those 20s. All right. Well, we'll see exactly what's going to happen. I think everybody will be excited to see the 20s go far in this race. Brian, we'll keep in touch, all right? Let me know what else is going on.
Will do. Good to
all
see
right,
y'all
take
again.
Take care, buddy. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
All right, there you go. There's Brian Lynch, everybody. I missed Brian Lynch. I got a fix of Brian Lynch there. That was good. Got to talk about some Hoffa-ween. So let's get into talking some Survivor and Tyler Sloan. He is our man who is out there looking at all of the secret scenes and everything going on there. So let's bring in Tyler Sloan to talk a little Survivor, and then I want to take some Survivor calls from you guys later on in the show. So Tyler, how you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good, Rob. Doing pretty good.
All right, Tyler. It's a very exciting time for the show of Survivor. I'm really excited about the second half of the season. Just to set the stage here a little bit, we've got Tandang and we've got Calabaugh. And over at Tandang, you've got Pete with Artis and with Abby Maria, maybe Lisa on the fence, and then you've got Scoopin', and then you've got RC, and then Malcolm, who knows where he really is, and then you've got the other tribe. With, you know, the three guys are together, and then Denise is with them, but who knows, are Denise and Malcolm going to get back together? And, oh, did I mention that there are three hidden immunity idols in play right now in this game? So I think we're really set up here for extremely exciting individual portion of the game coming up on Survivor.
Right, I think we've gotten rid of some of the fluff contestants that really deserve to go early
floaters.
On. Floaters. You know, although it's been a little predictable early on, it's going to get really good, I think, here in the next few episodes.
If they really are going to merge and I had to predict who's going home on Wednesday night, I have no idea. I mean, I guess if you put a gun to my head, who's going home? I don't know. Does Tandang stick together? Is it Jeff Kent? I mean, I guess, is that my best guess?
We will have to wait and see. You can almost just set all their pictures up on a dartboard, throw one, and that's probably your best guess.
Yeah. So we'll see exactly what's going to happen. And then so if that is the case, if there is a merge, does Penner give his idol to Jeff Kent if that's where we think they're going? Would they target Penner first after the merge? Do they, you know, go after Carter because then they get Penner to play his idol on Kent? Do they know he has the idol? Will Denise rat out what's going on if she flips over? I mean, there's a lot of intrigue here that we don't normally have at the merge.
Right. First, you have to wonder if Malcolm and Penner are going to stick together. I think the odds are they will. So they probably won't, you know, she's not going to rat out to Malcolm to anybody else, and I'm not sure that she guarantees for a fact knows that Penner has the idol. She probably assumes it. She might give Malcolm that information. If she did, now Malcolm knows each immunity idol. He knows Pete or Abby have that one immunity idol at Tandane, he would know that Pinner has idol from there, and he has an idol. So that would, again, put Malcolm in a huge power position in this game. I think Tandane, if stick together, they would probably go after, I think, Kent or Pinner first if they were to stick together. But I'm not certain that they're going to stick together. I have a feeling that Tandane's about to split pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're a little divided. Natalie Kuchik says, on the commercial, we see Malcolm and Denise talking on the same beach equals merge. Do you think that RC and Lisa will be bullied into a Team Yellow Strong or will either make a move? So, assuming the merge here, okay, do we think that Tandang will vote United come Wednesday night?
I would say no. I think they will not be united front. I think, and it's going to come down to that reward challenge. You saw the split there in what Mike Scoopin, you know, his decision to work with Pinner and come up with a deal. I think that rubbed too many people the wrong way to where Mike's not going to want to work with them anymore. And interesting, one of the things I did find when looking at those secret scenes is that Lisa was in favor of Mike's proposal. She understood it, and she kind of sided with Mike Scoopin as far as that goes. And we see Malcolm talking to Lisa, you know, in the preview for next time. So, you know, she might be kind of leaning over towards Scoopin and RC side. And I think if Mike Scoopin and RC get a chance with Malcolm to jump ship, they're going to jump ship.
I think it's going to be really interesting. So which side? I mean, but you need the numbers, even if Pete and Artis and Abby Maria don't like Mike and RC, then, I mean, they have to have the numbers. So who is Calabar going to side with? Are they going to go with Pete and Artis and Abby Maria, or are they going to go with Scoopin and with RC?
In my opinion, because Pinner is kind of the leader of that tribe, and Pinner seems to be the one that's suggesting a lot of the strategical decisions to Kent, and then if Kent goes along with Pinner says, and everybody's following him because, you know, Carter's under Kent's wing, and I think Denise is going to try and stay with Calabar a little bit. I think ultimately she'll go with Malcolm wherever he goes. So that's a little bit of an unknown. But for the three guys from Calabar, I would be more... It's more likely to me that Pinner and Scoopin would work together than Pinner and a bunch of players that are new because, you know, he already has that rapport with Scoopin. They already, you know, have started to make deals at the challenges. They have a respect for one another. So I think it's likely that Pinner is going to talk with Scoopin before he talks with anybody else on that tribe. I think Scoopin will kind of help sway Pinner in his direction.
So... is it fair to say that, I mean, based on all of these scenarios, is the Malcolm, Abby Maria, Artis threesome kind of screwed no matter what happens?
Well, now do you mean you're including Malcolm with
No, three? Malcolm I think is going to go off on his own. I don't think Malcolm's really with them. I think he's just trying to save his hide pre-merge, but... if Malcolm jumps ship and defects back to where Denise is, plus Mike Scoopin and RC, it's basically if the only way that Pete and Artis and Abby Maria can go further into the game is if they keep Tandang united, which is not what they would want to do, but it's strategically that's what the best move is. But if they're going to go after, if they're jerks, if they've been jerks to RC and Scoopin this whole time, why wouldn't Mike Scoopin and RC go and flip to Calabar and then have a majority and then bring in Malcolm and then knock out Abby Maria and Pete and Artis these next three votes?
See, that's what I think is going to happen. But, you know, if you're Pete, Abby, and Artis, they believe that they're probably going to just stick with them as a tribe. They don't really suspect, even though they've been kind of mean to them, that they would necessarily flip. I think their mindset is that they're in control of the game. You know, certainly Abby believes she has the numbers and Pete believes he has the numbers. So their plan, I think, going to merge is they've been waiting so long to get rid of RC and Mike Scoopin it's, I think, going to cloud their judgment in a way. Now, maybe Pete, he seems to be the one that is a little bit more into the game, I would think, than Abby and Artis. I think maybe he will realize that he wants to try and keep the numbers drawn and have Tandane United, and we'll see if he can pull something like that off. But I have a feeling Abby's going to want to get Arce out immediately because they believe that once they get Arce and Mike out, that, you know, they have Malcolm with them and that they can take care of Calabar whenever, and that maybe even Malcolm can pull Denise over. I think that's what their plan is. Not sure if it's going to be the plan that's actually executed on the show. There's a lot of unknowns, so we'll wait and see.
Tyler, we'll see. I hope you're wrong, because that is a terrible plan. If they're thinking that they're going to go after RC and Scoopin' after the merge, that's just an idiotic plan. They deserve to lose, and they definitely will if that's what they decide to go with. Because
Rob, how often do you see on Survivor where people make dumb moves in the game just because they think someone's annoying or they don't like someone?
Yeah, I know, but if it's after the merge now, you gotta get your head in the game, because I'm sure if Pete and those guys, they come to Penner and Kent and say, like, hey, look, we want to vote out RC and Scoop, and I'm sure those guys who are down in the numbers will jump at that opportunity, and then I think you're gonna see a Token Sheens redux where sort of, you know, Coach comes to JT and Steven and says, hey, we're going to make a Warriors alliance. We're going to do this. We got to get rid of these guys from my team. And then all of a sudden, the power shifts to the other, you know, the people who are in the minority to begin with. And the same thing is going to happen here. Brian Gelbach wants to know, who technically has the idol, Abby or Pete? I say Pete, right?
Well, if you're speaking technically, Abby has it, but Pete can probably convince her to give it to him whenever. So, you know, it's really kind of there. Remember, Abby's really a stubborn person. She's got a big personality. She might just say to Pete, hey, I'm going to keep, you know, screw you, even though they're in alliance. So we really don't know yet. We haven't, Pete and Abby have an argument yet, and wouldn't that be good to see? I'd love to see.
That would be good. Real lovers quarrel. Tyler, anything from the secret scenes of note this week? Was there anything that they posted on CBS.com that is interesting to add anything to the episodes?
A little bit more about the reward challenge. You know, you and Stephen Fishlong had that discussion about whether it was good or bad trade on either side. You know, Scoopin', the reason he made the trade is because of twofold. One, you take all of their guaranteed food off of Calabar and onto Tandane. So now, you know, it's more of a risk for Calabar because they have to actually go find food and spend that energy to find food, and that's going to deplete their tribe. The other reason is because Scoopin' was talking about Quakers just all over his body, like rubbing against him. And he was also concerned about Abby Maria, who had to participate in that challenge. Remember, they sat out RC and Artis. You know, Abby with that knee, and he says, you know, the jury's still out if it's actually hurt or not. He's maybe not too much of a believer. But if it is hurt, you know, she was going to struggle even against Katie in the challenge. So there's not a guarantee Dane would have still won that challenge, even though they might have won that round. So he saw a way to get out of it when Penner suggestion that Jeff Probst fell through or went through. He saw a way to get out of the challenge with something, which they have done so throughout the whole time. And Artis and Pete and Abby, they think Scoopin's an idiot. They're all about winning challenges and momentum. So, you know, two sides of the story.
Natalie wants to know, would it have been a smart move for Yellow to throw one of the immunity challenges to get rid of a potential flipper? On paper, this sounds like a dumb idea, but I kind of think there's some merit to this.
There's always consideration when you have such great numbers to possibly throw a challenge to get rid of somebody. Me personally, I would never throw an immunity challenge. You always want to have the numbers on your side. And personally, I'm with Rob. I mean, it's smart for Tandane to stick together at this point. But, you know, since they're alienating a couple of their members, those members might flip if they wanted to throw an immunity challenge to get rid of a potential flipper. You know, it might pay off in the end, but you never know. And it's always better, I think, to have more numbers, theoretically, than it is for the other tribe to have those numbers.
Yeah, I think it's partially is a zero sum game where you have you know, six people on one or seven people on one tribe and five on the other, and it's like, well, what does it matter if they get down to four or if we get down to six? But I do think there is something to that. If you get rid of the person who's the most likely to flip and the person who's the most likely to reveal all of your secrets to the other team, like, I think there is some value in addition by subtraction or subtraction by addition, whatever you want to go with.
Yeah. Well, in Samoa, you know, I think if Galu decided, you know, when they're up 8-4, let's throw in a muni challenge if they had that option. And they got rid of Shambo. Shambo will never flip over to Fofo at that point, and Russell Hanson never gets his chance to go to the end because that seven probably would have had a better chance to stick together without Shambo on their side.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff, Tyler. Looking forward to seeing the episode on Wednesday night.
Yes, a lot of answers hopefully will be, or we'll get a lot of answers to all of our questions, you know, come Wednesday night.
Yeah, answers will be revealed this Wednesday on a Halloween edition of Survivor Philippines. Take care, buddy.
All right, you too, Rob.
All right, bye. All right, everybody, there you have it, Tyler Sloan. Now, I had said I wanted to take a video call from you guys if you want, if anybody has any other video questions you want to ask us. Or if Jessica, I know, Jessica, do you have class? You want to pop on for a minute and give us your thoughts, anything from the show that we missed? Otherwise, we'll start to wrap it up here and get ready for a hollow. Oh, here comes the producer of Rob as a Podcast. It's Jessica Frey. Is that Jessica?
Hey,
that's not a tundra hat.
I don't have one yet.
Oh, not yet. Okay. We'll work on that. Here's Jessica Frey, the producer of Rob Has a Podcast. How do you think the show went today?
I think it went pretty well. I know a lot of people in the chat room are really worried about Pete. I know Don Johnson really likes him.
Well, why are you worried? Why are people in the chat room? And I see the chat flying by, but I can't really read it without being too distracted. Why are people in the chat room upset about Pete?
I don't know. He lets the rap viewers. A lot of people really like him, and a lot of people are like, no, he's a douche.
Yeah. He appeals to a lot of the rap fans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what is it about him?
I hope the Giants winning, though, is good news for Jeff Kent, though.
Oh, well, congratulations. Congratulations, Jessica Frey. We know you're a big San Francisco Giants fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you feel like this is an omen that Jeff Kent could finally win Survivor.
Because when the Boston Red Sox won the World Series, when Boston Rob won Survivor, or did really well, or got second place.
Oh, interesting.
It's like, hey.
Yeah. Okay.
All-Stars was that year.
That is true. Boston Rob, well, not just that Boston Rob, on Survivor Marquesas, he wore a New England Patriots hat, and then the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl only months after he finished filming. And then in 2003, when we went to go play on Survivor All-Stars, the Red Sox had just lost the Aaron Boone game about, you know, a few weeks before we went to go play Survivor, probably about like, 2 weeks earlier. That was like the Grady Little Aaron Boone game. Boston Rob brought his Red Sox hat, and a year later they won the World Series.
Yeah.
So, gotta give him
the
credit.
Hopefully it's the same thing, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. All right, Jessica, are you ready for our Halloween show tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't think I can dress up as a survivor because I also have a Halloween dress up for my meeting, and we're supposed to dress up as with our partners, and so I'm dressing up as a loofah and soap. So I guess you can say it's like a survivor reward.
Wait, what does a loofah costume look like?
It's really cool. It's just like big. I don't know. It's supposed to be really cool. We're going to win the costume contest. So
that's awesome. That sounds good. All right. So do you think we'll have a lot of people turned out wearing survivor costumes tomorrow night?
I think a lot of people wear plaid.
Okay, well, you can't be me. although I think a girl was me, I think, last year when we had the Halloween costume contest.
We'll see. There will be a lot of people with Boston Red Sox hats.
Okay. Yeah. All right, creativity is what's going to win you the prize. Yeah. all right, Jessica Frey. Well, thank you so much for all your hard work producing the show today. All right. So we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow night. All right. So there you go. It's Jessica Frey, the producer of Rob Has a Web Show. All right, guys. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Hope everybody is doing okay, and everybody's loved ones are all safe and everything. All along the East Coast. That's going to do it for this show. I'm going to be back tomorrow night for Halloween night with Stephen Fishback. Hopefully, assuming Stephen Fishback has power, we'll have to check in on him today and make sure that we don't need to have a replacement know-it-all. But we'll see. Happy Robbo-ween tomorrow night. Thank you, Thomas Benko. And in the meantime, don't forget, if you need anything in the world from Amazon.com, be sure to go to robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Help support the podcast. You get all of the great stuff that Amazon.com offers. You never pay any additional. And also, if you pay, if you spend $25 or more, you get some free shipping, which is nice when you can get it. So robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. So I will talk to you guys tomorrow night. Happy Halloween, everybody. Be safe. Talk to you again soon. Bye.